Hello, here we are on another beautiful day, and we thank you for joining us. It's a gift and a pleasure to share Jesus with you. As we begin, we always go to the throne and seek God's intervention. As we thank you, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, for your presence, for your gift, for your love, we ask that you would be with each one of us, that we could hear exactly what you want us to hear, that we could take that to our hearts personally, that you would give me the words, or certainly that you would change the words as necessary so that we all can hear what you have for us. We ask for your blessing and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Today's message, the title is, What or Who is Your Passion? And I want you to think about that for a moment and think, do I have passion? And what or who is that passion for? I want to begin by defining the word passion. It's intensity, enthusiasm, eagerness, zeal, feeling, emotion, excitement, energy, gusto, zest, spirit. Commitment. Passion reflects commitment. Whether it's a what or to a who, it is commitment. As we looked at this, do you think of what you are passionate about or who you're passionate about? And I hope that something did come to mind. And as we go through this, that you will reflect on what or who. And that is the premise that we will go through as this text rolls out. The examples of what that you might be passionate about could include your career, your retirement if you have reached the end of your career. Maybe it's a pet. Hobbies are another thing that many people are passionate about. Learning, many people continue their education, or they certainly use a lot of resources from the library because they are lifelong learners. They are passionate about that. Others are the health and fitness. You see many at the gym. They are actively pursuing a passion of increasing their fitness or their health. Uplifting others is another passion. Your relationships with others. Are you passionate about yourself? I know that's a little different, but that's something that you need to kind of analyze and think about. Now, the word who, as it applies to passion, could be your spouse, could be being a parent. You remember maybe when you came home with that brand new baby or that new little bundle you held in your arms. You certainly were probably very passionate and still are. Maybe a brother or sister, an aunt or an uncle, grandparent, grandchildren. Many of you who know me, I am very passionate about my little people, the grandchildren. They're very special to me. A son or a daughter is another one. One that I hope you thought of, but if not, you will maybe reflect on is, are you passionate for Jesus Christ, for who he is? You heard earlier the reading from the Passion Translation of this particular text of Philippians 3, 4 through 14. Today's text is really a very good one to go through a study at your home. This makes for a great personal study. The narrative is about the transformation of Saul to Paul's life. And the question I want to start with, what takeaway can we take from Paul's story? Verse 3, Paul tells us not to brag about what we've done. So we're going to pick up the narrative in verse 4. And today in the message part of the service, I'm going to be using the contemporary English version. This is a particular text that if you do take some time and study it at home, use multiple translations. it really comes alive as you read the different translations. In verse 4, this is Paul speaking, "Although I could, others may brag about themselves, but I have more reason to brag than anyone else. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am from the nation of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a true Hebrew. As a Pharisee, I strictly obeyed the law of Moses." This was a really big deal in that culture. He exemplified everything that he lived. In verse 6, "And I was so eager that I even made trouble for the church. I did everything the law, the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, demands in order to please God." He mentioned a pure Hebrew family from the tribe of Benjamin. This was kind of a who's who from the tribe of Israel. This, he was from a very elite family. Number 2, the relationship to the law. Paul was blameless. He kept the law and traditions perfectly. He was totally focused on the law. A third item is relations to Israel's enemies. He defended his Orthodox faith, persecuting the followers of Jesus, from Matthew 27, verse 62 through 66. He assisted in stoning of Stephen, Acts 7, 54 through 60. He led attacks against the church, Acts 8, 1 through 3. Paul was committed and he was passionate about what he was doing. What was Paul's passion? He focused on the religious, the things that he could control, the religious things of his life, rather than Jesus Christ. He was looking to the things he could measure, he could understand from a physical standpoint when he did right and when he did wrong, and he could control what was going on. How he stacked up against the law. Again, he was measuring a self-appraisal. And in this case, it was a very honest self-appraisal. He saw himself as very successful, which he was. When you measure Paul's commitment, his intensity, his appraisal against the standards of Jesus, he was a total failure. Paul's world changed one day when Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. This is in Acts 9. If you're familiar with the story, you will remember Jesus said, "Saul, Saul," which was Paul's previous name, "why are you persecuting me?" If you're not familiar with the story, I really encourage you to read Acts 9. It gives a real foundation to where this whole process with Paul is going. Through this event, Paul's world was turned upside down. A miracle of God's grace. When a sinner sees Jesus and admits their needs and turn and repents from self-reliance to Jesus, that's a miracle of God's grace. And it's still true today. Do you remember accepting Jesus in your life? Maybe it was recent. Maybe it was long ago. Think back to that day and your decision. Do you remember? Is it something that you've reflected on from time to time? Your passion at the time took you a certain direction, an acceptance of Jesus Christ. If that day is still in front of you, contact us. We'll share a contact opportunity at the end of the message, but we'd love to hear. I'd love to talk, because this grace, the miracle of God's grace, is so true today. And you can experience the same miracle of God's grace. A wonderful exchange took place. Paul lost what he once held dear, but gained true righteousness and joy with knowing Jesus. Paul's passion went from what he was passionate about to who he was passionate about. Picking this back up in verse 7 of chapter 3. But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. He had a great reputation as a scholar and a religious leader, proud of his Jewish heritage and achievements. He realized these things were worthless and meaningless compared to knowing Jesus. The what that he was passionate about failed miserably against the who of his passion for Jesus Christ. In verse 8, Paul continues, "Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count all as garbage. All I want is Christ. All I want. And to know that I belong to him, I could not make myself acceptable to God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith in Christ. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did, so that somehow I also may be raised to life." In embracing Jesus, Paul lost his religion and his reputation. I want to define reputation. Belief or opinions that are generally held about someone or about me. That are held about me. That is a reputation. Your reputation determines the social standing of a person in society. It is a measure of your influence. And Paul states he lost all of that. Yet he gained more, the knowledge, righteousness, and fellowship of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, to know Christ Jesus means to have an active personal relationship with him through faith, who he is in you. Verse 9, Paul had sought this righteousness through works. What he could control, what he did, it was about himself. Sharing in Jesus is a gift of pure grace, which we participate in through the Spirit by faith, not by works, not by what we can do. Verse 10 and 11, Paul continues, when he accepted Jesus, it was the beginning of a wonderful, growing relationship with God in Christ. He now had a friend, a master, and a constant companion. Someone who would never fail, someone who would always love him. Paul elaborates 3 points. Christ lives in me, from Galatians 2:20. Paul is a privilege to suffer for Jesus, Philippians 1:29 through 30. And Paul summarizes dying and living with Jesus in Galatians 2, verse 20. We'll pick this back up in chapter 3 and verse 12. I have not yet reached my goal. I am not perfect. This is Paul speaking to us. But Christ has taken a hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived. Paul is looking at the who. We are invited to participate with Jesus as he ministers in our world in fulfilling the Father's mission. Paul compares this participation with running a race, and the goal is to run strong. Paul gives us 5 keys for running strong. The first one is dissatisfaction. A humble self-appraisal leading to a divine dissatisfaction is key for running strong with Jesus. The second is devotion. The first part of verse 13, but one thing I do. The one thing for us is fulfilling our calling in Jesus' service. It's a matter of values and priorities. Running with devotion in our assigned lane with Jesus, not for, but with Jesus. The third point is direction. The second part, or the last part of verse 13, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. It's easy to get bogged down in our past. We break the power of the past by living for the future. Are passionate for Jesus, to be with Jesus, for Jesus in our life is extending that future. That's a future of not just in this human life, but a life for eternity. That's the future that we're looking at. The fourth one is determination. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal, win the prize. Have you ever asked yourself this? Is that your goal in life? Are you seeking the prize of a future life with Jesus Christ as you go through every day with Jesus in your life, today, tomorrow, next week, next year? Are you getting into the game with a strong determination to win? The Christian runner realizes that Jesus must work in and through them if they're going to win. From Philippians 2, 12 through 13, we cannot do this on our own, but with Jesus, we succeed. Apart from me, you can do nothing, said Jesus in John 15, verse 5. God works in us that he might work through us. In us and through us. And the fifth one is discipline. Train yourself to be godly, was Paul's exhortation to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Toward what goal is the Christian pressing and struggling? To what goal are you pressing and struggling for? The prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus in Philippians 3:14. That's what Paul was focused on. That's what he's encouraging us. That's a major takeaway of this text, this reading. What that calling in Christ, that passionate in Christ can do every day. Paul gained far more than he lost. His life did not depend on the cheap things of this world, what he could do, what we can do, what I can do, but on the eternal values and joys found in Jesus. That's what he focused on. He knew that that was the eternal prize, the great and grand prize. He was not passionate about what he could do, but he was passionate for who Jesus is in his life. Treasures in Jesus can never be stolen and never lose their value. Is your life, your passion about Jesus Christ? Not just about Jesus, but who he is in you. Nothing else compares to the passion of who Jesus is in you. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to hearing from you. We would be happy to pray, respond in any way. You can reach us through our website at gcderby.org or through our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. It is such a blessing to share with you. May you have a very wonderful and blessed week.